The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
Remaining competitive in challenging economic times is a tough task for any business. Success often comes down to who has the best workers to get the job done. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to talk about some new research that shows businesses not only have to worry about what's happening with workers inside their offices and factories, they also should be concerned with the quality of life in the communities where they're located. Joining us on this edition of UWM Today, Belrose Reagans, a professor of management at the Lubar School of Business at UWM, and Kyle Earhart, who's a fourth-year doctoral student studying organizational behavior and human resource management, also at the Lubar School. Welcome to both of you folks.
Thanks.
Good to have you with us. Bel, the research that you did is interesting because it suggests sometimes it's not enough for a business owner to just be concerned with what they can control inside those walls where the workers are.
Actually, that's really what prompted us to do this study. And I'd like to also recognize my research team, Jorge Gonzalez, Romola Singh, and Kyle Earhart. And we have been working on this project for many years, and we really wanted to investigate what the spillover is from the community to the workplace. And you're absolutely right, Tom. Companies oftentimes just think about what happens within the walls of their organization and trying to improve the climate within, and they don't really think about the implications of how the community and how the experiences of the community may spill over to the workplace. And that's really what we wanted to look at in our study.
And so you went ahead and talked to a lot of business owners.
Well, actually what we did was, the impetus for this study was that we were hearing here in Milwaukee about the challenges that CEOs, business professionals, HR managers faced in recruiting and retaining professionals of color to Milwaukee. How do we get professionals of color to move to Milwaukee and to stay to Milwaukee? And they were saying that, you know, it was really difficult because the climate in Milwaukee was difficult and folks were leaving. And we heard the anecdotal reports and we started thinking about, well, what does the research have to say about this? And we found that there wasn't any. So we decided to launch this study. And we did a national study of accounting professionals who were members of a national accounting association. And we got responses. It was a survey study, internet survey study. We got responses from over 2,045 accounting professionals across the nation. So we did a national study.
All 50 states represented, pretty much?
Yep, everywhere. And we asked them about their experiences in the community, and we really wanted to investigate the extent to which the community's diversity climate spilled over to the workplace and affected their workplace experiences and their intentions to stay in the organization, their job search behaviors, and also their stress in the workplace.
And I suspect that you found something that helped support the notion you got from the HR directors that communities do matter.
Yeah, actually, we found some really interesting and surprising results. We looked at two aspects of the community, you know, in terms of its diversity. And the one thing we looked at was the racial composition of the community, and looked at the extent to which the respondents in our survey lived in communities that were racially diverse, or did they live in communities that were like them in terms of being very homogeneous. And so that was one aspect. And we thought there's been a lot of research that's been out there on white flight and segregation research, which has found that whites in particular are more likely to want to leave communities that are racially diverse. So we thought we'd look at that. And then we also want to look at the climate in the community, the diversity climate in the community. And for that, what we asked our respondents, to what extent would you agree or disagree with statements such as the community offers a place where people of color would want to move to the community, it welcomes people of different races, ethnicities, it's a model for inclusiveness. So we looked at those two different aspects of community diversity, the degree to which the respondent saw the community as being a very accepting and inclusive place for diversity, and also the actual racial diversity in the community. We asked them their zip codes, and we were able, using census data, to be able to ascertain what the racial diversity in the community was.
And so that way you could ground all of these responses and compare them to the statistically what the demographics really are.
Yeah, we had the objective and the subjective measures. So what we thought was that people who lived in communities that the climate was not accepting, that were intolerant, not inclusive, would be more likely to want to leave those communities. And if they wanted to leave the communities, they would also be more likely to want to leave their workplaces and engage in job search behaviors. And that was our basic premise of our study, to really look at, we called it the crossing the threshold study, to look at the threshold, how the community spills over to the workplace. So that was really kind of the focus of our study and why we did the study and how we set the study up.
And you found?
We found four really interesting results. The first piece was that community diversity climate mattered for both whites and professionals of color. People who lived in communities that were that had negative climates, that were perceived as being intolerant and not accepting of diversity, were more likely to report that they wanted to leave their community and were more likely to report that they wanted to leave their workplace and engaged in more job search behaviors.
And did this apply to both students of or people of color as well as whites?
Yes, that was really interesting, and actually a little bit of a surprising finding for our study, I think, was that it was both. So what this really tells the business community is that if you want to retain talented professionals, both whites and people of color, you need to pay attention to the community's diversity climate. So that was like the first piece we found. And then the second we found was that whites who lived in communities that were racially diverse wanted to leave those communities and wanted to leave their workplace, as other research on white flight has found. But if they lived in a community that was racially diverse but also had a positive climate for diversity, that effect was diminished. They were more willing to stay in their communities and also in their workplaces.
Because they appreciated the value of having a good, healthy, diverse environment.
Yeah. I mean, what that told us, it's not just the diversity in your community, it's how that diversity is experienced every day, day-to-day, your daily experiences. So that was the third finding. And the last one that was very interesting was that these effects spilled over to influence the reports of stress in the workplace. Both whites and people of color who experience diversity climates as being negative were also more likely to not only want to leave their communities, but also were more likely to report that they experienced stress-related symptoms on the job, like upset tummies and headaches and chest pains. So this has implications for healthcare and for the health of the psychological well-being and health of our workforce.
So, Kyle, your involvement, you're working here closely under Bal. First of all, how did you get interested in this?
Well, this has been an area of diversity research in general that Bal and I have, I've kind of been working with Bal, have gained some interest in. For this particular study itself, one thing that I really found interesting was about some of the ways we looked at both the objective and the subjective factors that could influence individuals' intentions to leave or leave the workplace and the community also. And with this, I'd like to comment with one is a particularly interesting, you know, for me was the way the subjective and the objective both played together in having the influence, especially for the white respondents in our sample. You know, this is something that in historical research on white flight and segregation, most of the research comes from large aggregate databases and looking at neighborhood change. And only recently we start to see an interest in more focused, subjective, what's your opinion of the climate and where you live. And we're really seeing some interesting things, as in our study, about the effects of the subjective. I'm very interested in individuals' perceptions and how they influence their behavior in my own work. And this is something that's really interesting to me because here we see a long-standing body of literature on white flight, which is suggesting just this basic looking at aggregate change is really influenced by subjective perceptions. And it gives us a whole new angle of looking into the experience of diversity.
Well, and it some of the findings you just cited, Bal, suggest that for whites who may have some issues with diversity, if they find themselves in an environment where the best of diversity flowers and comes forth, they begin to change, it sounds like.
Right. It's not just the diversity in the community. It's the way it's experienced. And it's the day-to-day experience. So we really started thinking about what is diversity climate? You know, what does that actually mean? And it could mean your everyday experiences. And we talk about communities' diversity climate. It's not just the reputation or the demography of the community. It's also the everyday experience. Do you feel like you're welcome in the community? What's the experience of your family in the community, your kids in the community? How is your group represented or not represented in the community? So it's a host, a constellation of experiences and factors that affect your perception of your community's diversity climate. This is really what we really want to study in our future research as well.
So you surveyed thousands of workers. Now, they were accountants.
Yes.
Tell me why accountants why not butchers or postmen or whatever?
Well, this is the first study to really address the issue and examine the spillover of community diversity climate to the workplace. So when we thought about our sample, we wanted a national sample, and we wanted to look at a professional group to hold occupation constant. And what we want to do in our future research is to really extend this to other groups to look at other socioeconomic patterns that may emerge. We did control for socioeconomic status in our survey, in our study. We looked at the socioeconomic status of the community, the family income. We controlled for whether they own their own home or not. We controlled for a lot of different factors in our study. But we thought we just wanted to hold constant the effects of profession to start. And it was interesting that our findings were quite interesting, we thought.
Geographically, you did the survey was internet-based. You were able to go ahead and connect with people from all 50 states. Can you draw any conclusions on whether or not some parts of the country are more welcoming, more appreciative of the value of diversity than others?
Well, that's you, do you want to?
Well, I would, in terms of the study itself, you know, this was aggregated across all of the different, you know, kind of breakdowns of the racial diversity you would have. I think related to the question you asked, one thing I think we can have to consider is as we look across the different areas of the country, when we think of racial diversity, the breakdown of racial diversity is often very different. You know, for example, if this particular individual is in El Paso, it's likely they're going to see a different kind of racial diversity in their community as they would in, let's say, Atlanta. You know, these are the kind of things we aggregated across in terms of specifying the variable as different from me in my community to really capture all of the racial differences that exist. And that's where we started with this study. Mm-hmm. The actual differences from individual groups is something that I think we'll be exploring in some future work.
Because that would be very interesting and I suspect instructive for people who are thinking of opening or expanding businesses if it became clear that there are some great communities that you've identified based on your research where diversity is celebrated and workers are happier and presumably more productive.
And I think that really, I mean, this is something I think really varies by community. And a community could be the best, you know, there are different magazines that say, here's the best place for Latinos to live, here's the best place for African Americans to live, here's the best place for Asians to live. And they really vary. I mean, these cities vary. I think a more important question in a way is how we change a community to be more accepting. To me, that's the critical question as we move forward is, you know, you live in your community and you see the challenges that are in that community in terms of the effects of race on the climate and the culture and you know how they spill over to the workplace now. So then how do you change that community? How do you make it more of an accepting and inclusive place? And that, to me, is the question that's – it's not just a research question. I think it's more importantly a question with respect to our leaders and our leadership in terms of how we move from point A to point B. Now that we have this information, how do we make change happen? How do we sustain it?
To Bell's point, one of the things that does get borne out a bit in our results, a lot of times when you see these magazines reporting on the climate, what's the best place for African Americans to live, for example, one of the key criteria is the percent population of African Americans. One of the things we found here was that in for people of color, the actual racial dissimilarity to the community didn't matter in predicting moving intentions. It was all about climate, which suggests that perhaps the actual population may be overemphasized in some of these non-scientific type of publications. Right. Whereas what we should really be looking at.
So what you're saying is you could have a community that has a lot of Latinos living there, but just because you have a lot of Latinos doesn't mean it necessarily is welcoming or a positive environment.
Right. That's right. We really need to look at the climate in the community when we consider really what the implications for diversity are. And that's what's really borne out as one of the key elements of this study.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to WUWM, and this is UWM Today. Good to have you with us on this week's program. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio is Belle Rose Reagan. She's a professor of management at the Lubar School of Business, and Kyle Earhart, who's a doctoral student, working closely with Belle on a fascinating project, a research project that looked at the impact of diversity, or maybe the lack of diversity, mm-hmm. and what that means for businesses and organizations that rely on workers from mm-hmm. different backgrounds. Belle, as you look at the data, as you go back and begin to review the feedback that you got from these, in this case, accountants, you mm-hmm. you wanted to mm-hmm. have a nice homogeneous group of people to do this mm-hmm. sample with. Anecdotally, what was the impression that you might be able to share in terms of how they felt mm-hmm. About mm-hmm. The workplace? Mm-hmm. Were they pretty open and pretty forthcoming in describing what life was like if they were in a not very welcoming climate? Yeah.
I think for our particular study, we used survey data, so we didn't have the qualitative data that you'd be talking about in terms of interviewing people and getting interview data, which asked for their actual responses. But from other studies that we've done and other work that we have done, one of the pieces is that there are oftentimes what's called micro inequities. So, you know, when you talk about the impact of a culture or climate on an individual, there are some major pieces that can happen in the community. And we've witnessed, for example, hate crimes in community or things that grab your attention, large pieces that send strong messages. But every day there are micro inequities that happen. People get pulled over for driving. People get followed in malls. People are in communities where they just feel like they're not welcome. And all of those experiences, and then they could be verbal, they could be nonverbal, build up. So when we talk about the effects of diversity climate, there's what you see and there's what goes underneath the surface in terms of what you feel and whether you generally feel like whether you're accepted or not accepted in that community. And that is really powerful. And particularly when we talk about people looking at their families and their children and their children's experiences in their schools and whether they're accepted and how do you build self-efficacy and strong families when you're in a community that doesn't value you, that can be a real challenge. So I think that really kind of speaks to the importance of really looking at community diversity.
Hmm. And so for a white business owner, for example, who may think that she or he have a great environment where people are respected, if they're not aware that when that employee leaves the workplace mm-hmm. and goes to the gas station yeah. or goes yeah. to the mall, if they're not aware of what's going on there, they may mm-hmm. be only yeah. seeing half the picture.
Right. And I think that's the real challenge. When you're in the dominant group, you oftentimes don't see what other groups are experiencing. And that's a matter of education. And that's the most important piece in terms of education. So I think there are two pieces with respect to this study. And one is it really illuminated the spillover community diversity climate to the workplace. And it was really oftentimes seen as a wake-up call to organizations that they need to get involved in their communities. What happens in the community affects their workers. Workers bring their experiences to the workplace. So companies can't afford to sit back and not be engaged in their communities and not be engaged in creating positive change in their communities. They need to get involved. They need to partner with civic leaders, with educational leaders to change the community. And it's very hard. I mean, changing culture is very difficult to do. The culture didn't just happen overnight. It took a long time to emerge, and it's going to take quite a bit of energy and effort to change it. But it doesn't change unless you get in there and get involved. It has to happen.
Were you able to determine whether or not there were any differences in those businesses that are owned by minorities and whether or not they felt or appreciated the need to pay greater attention to the overall environment than white owners?
Yeah. Well, I think when you're, generally speaking, I think when you are in the position of being in the minority, you understand the effects of discrimination. You understand how people can judge you based on the color of your skin or who you are, and sometimes it could be visible or sometimes it could be invisible. And you understand that dynamic, and oftentimes that extends, and you use that knowledge to gain more empathy and perspective in terms of understanding what others experience. Not always, but that happens as well. So I think generally we're going to find a little bit more of a difference with respect to that. But But I think it also varies. I mean, sometimes you can be in a minority group and still not understand or still not get what other groups experience. It takes education. It takes willingness to learn. It takes being open to that knowledge. And studies like this, for example, and the study is, you know, being published. It's in the press. It's won a national award. We're hoping that it's going to really illuminate the importance of these factors and get business owners and community leaders to really think about the community and how it affects the bottom line of organizations. I mean, how it affects the profits. If a community's diversity climate is making both whites and people of color leave their community and leave the workplace, turnover is very costly for organizations. We call turnover the 2 4-letter words, okay? It's very costly for organizations. So they need to really get involved and think about how to stem this, how to stop this, and how to take more social responsibility for working in a community and creating more level playing fields in terms of education, economic justice, income.
So even if a business owner says, I don't care about any of that social stuff, you know, I'm here to make a buck and I want to run the business and all of this talk about diversity really doesn't matter to me. What your research is suggesting is, wait a minute, if you want to make a buck,
right,
it does matter.
Right.
If you want to retain talented people, and that's really the question here, what we use as the outcome was really individuals wanting to leave the workplace and say, if you do not have interest necessarily in the climate of the community, this could have implications for you in time with people wanting to leave your workplace.
And so in communities like Milwaukee, where there is an ongoing effort to attract talent, to retain talent, I mean, we do have, even though it's warmer out these winters, we still have snow, so we have one strike against us. It seems to me like that motivation should be especially important.
Mm-hmm. These things matter, and that's essentially what we're finding. The climate matters, and this is true for Milwaukee. It's true for, as a national sample, really across the United States.
Right.
And this is something that business leaders need to be aware of and need to understand that there are implications for not addressing, you know, inequities in the climate or people's perception of a negative climate, and that these things can come back to their business, even though they may not originate in that form.
You know, I think one of the things that's really interesting is that many companies are recognizing that diversity climate within the organization is critical, and they invest in quite a bit of diversity training and hire diversity consultants to try to improve their internal climate for diversity. And the research that's been out indicates that the internal climate for diversity impacts both whites and people of color. But what our study suggests is that the external climate for diversity is also important, that we don't stop at the threshold, that people bring their experiences with them into the workplace. So that's, I think, the critical piece.
Were you able to determine whether there were any differences based on age? If I'm a younger person in an environment that isn't particularly welcoming, am I more likely to get up and go than a middle-aged woman or guy who, might have some roots there?
Yeah. Well, I think that it's interesting because when we talk about the ability to leave an organization, there's many different factors in terms of your age, in terms of your education, in terms of your profession. And that's one of the reasons why we were holding occupation constant in terms of looking just at accounting professionals in this particular study. But I think that these types of factors affect everyone irrespective of age. And the challenge of creating a positive climate, the challenge of changing attitudes affects everyone irrespective of age. Sometimes there's the assumption that, it's just older people who have negative attitudes, but we're seeing many incidents of younger people engaging in hate crimes. So we have our work cut out for us in terms of creating change and changing attitudes. And that's ultimately what needs to happen for these changes in the community to really happen and for them to be filtered over and spill over into the workplace.
As the results of your study come out now, what sort of reaction have you had? How do people see this impacting their lives, if at all?
This really has struck an interesting chord, and it has resonated with many people in the academic as well as the practitioner audiences. And I think people are recognizing that when we talk about work-life oftentimes, we talk about the spillover of life to the workplace, we talk about work-life, oftentimes that's only viewed in terms of family. Like you have the spillover, you bring family to work, you bring work to home to family. And we don't talk about work-life in terms of the broader array of other types of experiences that you have outside the workplace. We expect people to leave those experiences at the workplace door and come into the workplace as if they have never had those experiences in their community. But what we're seeing is that these experiences matter. when you have experiences in the work in the community, be it the climate, be it a hate crime, be it something that's traumatic or something as subtle and simple as somebody just giving you the stink eye when in the elevator as you're going up to your office. Those things matter. Those things make you feel accepted or unaccepted, and you bring those pieces into the workplace. So I think what our study really has done and has really illuminated the importance of looking at the non-work domain as more than just family. Family is important. It doesn't always define it. We're looking at these host of other experiences, and that's where actually our next research. We have a huge stream of research projects ahead. I mean, more research ideas than we have time for, I'm sure, but our next projects will be looking at these other types of community experiences.
I want to ask Kyle, as a student working closely with Bell, who, by the way, has a wonderful international reputation for her work. We're thrilled to have her on the faculty at Lubar. What does it mean for you to be able to work as closely as you do with someone as renowned as Bell?
Well, this has been a door opener for me. And when you have someone that you're working with that has the reputation that she does, and also, you know, the contacts that she does, this really introduces you to a lot of other people. This really kind of people look at you differently as well when they ask who you work with in your own work as a doctoral student. And it makes a big difference. I'm actually now going to more conferences and seeing these things, and you really get to know a lot more people because of this. It's been a wonderful experience.
So do you want to follow in Bell's shoes?
Well, that's the plan going forward. Certainly working together with someone with this reputation has implications for your own research interests and work, and it also coincides with my personal interests too, so it really works well.
Does it make a difference doing this work in a city like Milwaukee, a much larger metropolitan area than perhaps a small town?
Well, I think the implications become clear because you are around a more urban population. Would this be meaningful if I was doing this work in a smaller community? Of course it would. But the fact that it is in a community that has some maybe stigmas that Milwaukee mm-hmm. does from time, I think it does have an immediate impact that maybe you don't get elsewhere.
Bell, are you optimistic about Milwaukee? I mean, although you didn't mm-hmm. specifically mm-hmm. go down yeah. and target yeah. individual cities, yeah. what's your sense of how this community will react?
Well, I think that we can learn quite a bit from watching our reaction to the recent hate crime against the Sikh community and watching the outpouring of support and empathy that occurred. I mean, communities oftentimes can't keep hate crimes from happening, but they can send a clear message, not in our town. And we saw that here in Milwaukee. And I think that opened the door, too. We saw this at UWM for conversations, for dialogue about the role of race and racism in our community, how it affects our community, how we need to change our schools, how we need to provide education and diversity training, perhaps not just in the workplace and not just in higher ed, but also perhaps kindergarten. I think diversity training should start in kindergarten. And that's how change happens. Our community is very challenged. We have one of the most segregated communities in the country. But there's also an opportunity for building bridges. It's hard to change attitudes when people live in different neighborhoods. Okay, the most effective way to change attitudes is through positive social contact. And that's hard to do when you live in different communities. But we come together in the workplace, and we come together in colleges and universities. And those are the places where I think we need to have the dialogue and the conversation to change attitudes, to open ideas, to open doors, to make people really reflect and think about what the meanings is of racism in the community, what that means, why it happens, and how we can change it.
Well, Bell and Kyle, thank you for sharing the thoughts today. Great, great research. And as you say, Bell, hopefully it opens eyes and ultimately changes behavior. Melrose Reagans, professor of management at the Lubar School of Business, and Kyle Earhart, fourth-year doctoral student, working closely with Bell on this really interesting research, looking at the impact that diversity or maybe the lack of it has on our workplaces. Well, that's all for this edition of UWM Today. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.